Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. All is well in your world?
Yeah, I have no complaints.
Oh, great. And we both had a little time off last week, which was nice. We took a little...
Yes, I heard. I saw your pictures.
We had a very nice time
lovely.
In Montauk. It was great, and the weather was beautiful. And so
that's
it was
awesome.
A nice vacation. And always feels good to just take a little time off. That's a good thing.
Yes.
So, and I know you were in Rhode Island, which is always a nice place. And you said you went to Block Island. So we were just having
yep.
that summer fun.
Oh, absolutely.
And during the time that you weren't here, I did the lecture in the Great Neck Library, which was very nice. And Pat came and Karen came. You know, some of our listeners
yes.
from the show were there. So that was always nice. And some other new people
awesome.
Came. So it was a very nice lecture. It went very well. So that was an exciting thing to do. So I want to thank those listeners who show up, because I always feel a lot better when it's people that I know. I see at least one or two faces out of 50 that I know. You know?
Yep.
So it was great. And we have a lot of listeners tonight. So I guess taking off a week was a good thing.
Oh, my God. I know. Do you see this?
Mm-hmm. And I know that we're going to take two. I will take, you'd have to press one to talk to us, but I know that if you look down on the list, there's one with 2449 as the last four digits.
Yeah.
We're going to take that
yeah.
second, and we're going to go up a notch to 3622, because I think that's another old friend and listener. So maybe we'll pick that one first, and other one second, and then you'll screen from there, okay? And then
you got it.
Okay. Okay, so let's see.
People.
Okay, now I'm going to hit the 3622, and I'm going to tell you you're live and on the air. Hello?
Hey, what's up, Sal?
Sal, see, I told you it was an old friend that we haven't heard from in a while. That's it's so good. Everything's good with you, I hope, with your marriage and everything?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good with that. No, I was just calling because today's my son's birthday, and I want to see if he had any messages for me.
Oh, isn't that – you know what? He was here earlier today, and I didn't realize this was his birthday, but I thought he was just hanging out for a minute or two here, Sal, but
yeah.
No, he was here. You know what he wants. He wants
yeah.
cake. Are we having cake? We have to have cake.
Today's his 30th birthday, so it's a big number, you know.
And I got – the first card that I got was the rest in peace card when a young man has passed, and I think you need to know that your son is resting in peace. He's trying to learn all he can on the other side. You know, he desperately misses his daughter. Have you seen her lately?
No, the mother's making it hard. She's dating a woman, and she, you know, she came out of the closet. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but it was like a big, you know, hoo-ha, like a big deal. Who cares what you're doing? You know?
We want to see our granddaughter.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Oh,
I mean, I don't care what. I don't care if she's dating another woman, another man. You know, I know you got to move on sooner or later, but you know, why do you have, you know, her and her mother are very, very difficult to deal with.
I know that, and you know, your granddaughter misses you because you did make her feel special, and you know, misses the Sundays that she went there with her dad, with you. Your son is asking you to try to be happy. He said, I'm sorry that everything is so up in the air with you right now. He is crying a little bit. You know, he just misses everybody. And, you know, it's hard for him too, because, you know, imagine if you died and left your children. You know, your dad died, and how much you've missed him. It's how your son feels. He promises to try to guide your granddaughter back to you. He would love that. What did you do for your son today? Did you do anything in his honor today?
No, I just went to work. I'm going to later. My daughter went out to eat with her mother, you know, to his favorite restaurant, and that was about it so far. I just been, you know, I just walking around a little depressed today, and just, you know, holding my head down. But he was messing with me on the radio because my radio station kept messing up all the time, and it never does.
Okay, that's what they do. They can screw up with electronics. It's their way of letting us know they're around.
Right.
And he doesn't want you to be sad. And then he says, I know that's impossible. You know, believe me, he knows it's impossible. That, you know,
no, it's the birthday, and then it's the 1 year anniversary, which is August 21st. You know, that's a tough, that's a real tough day. But what are you going to do?
And it, believe me, it's tough for him too. He's very respectful on the other side. You know, he's thanking me for giving you this moment together. And, you know, it's hard for me to talk to him too, because, you know, I knew your son and I love your family. So this is difficult. I mean, it's difficult for me too. And of course, you know, he's, wants us to laugh a little bit. You know, sometimes if you're watching a game or you're having fun things you're doing, he'll be around. He just likes to be in the car with you, like when you're driving too heavy. Have you sensed him in the car with you a lot?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, I mean, in the beginning, yeah, but not so much now, here and there, you know.
Okay, you have to just pay attention. He's still down on Earth. His 100 hours a month. He's not here less. He's still here.
Okay.
You know, he's wishes he could manifest and do stuff. He goes, but Dad, I'll get in trouble. So, and for a guy who didn't always follow the rules on Earth, he's pretty good about following them on the other side. Okay, he doesn't want to be deprived of not coming. He thinks his sister's doing better. Do you think she's doing better? Because he thinks she's doing much better.
I think she's trying. She got a job now, so she's a little more focused on that. But, you know, she's still doing the Xanax, you know, but I think she slowed down on it and take it, you know, what's supposed to be prescribed. I don't know.
Right. She's taking it as prescribed, according to your son, okay? So, and, you know, she's working hard, and, you know, she's had a hard time of it, too. He misses his brother most of all.
I talked to Kyle today, but, you know, he didn't say too much.
Yeah, well, you know, he's still mad at him, you know, and rightfully so. He likes the water. Do you ever go by the water sometimes?
Yeah, I go by the water, yeah.
Okay, because he would like you to, you know, just sit by the water, sit outside. He misses the summer and all the fun things, and if you just sit by the water, he'll guarantee to give you a sign he's around. Maybe you'll see a butterfly. I know when TJ and I are in the bay, quite frequently, just one butterfly will fly over, and we go, "Oh,
yeah, well,
I'm
going to drive down there tonight." So, you know,
he'll be there with you by the water tonight.
Well,
so,
how's business look
for you? Okay, that's a good question, because your son said, "Let's get down to business." You got the Ace of Pentacles, which is better money, or could be another job. Are you staying? Do you want to find something else?
No, I like where I am, but I mean,
good.
I just got a raise, so I just
good.
Want to
that's
make sure
better
they're
money.
Happy.
Good, good. They like you, so you know, relax. They like you, and I'm glad you got a raise. And your son says He's going to help you get a little bit more money. But, you know, money-wise looks good here. His son says it's okay to be depressed today because it's his birthday. And on his death day, you can be sad, but in between, he wants you to be happy. Are you trying to do that?
Yeah, I'm happy every day. It's just, it's the big days. It's the birthday and the anniversary, really. That's, they're both in the summer. And, it makes me crazy. But, what am I going to do? And I just called because I figured maybe he had something to say to me. That's all,
Right. And if you just want to know him near you, just talk.
All right. Okay.
Promise me you'll talk to him a little bit. He wants to just talk to him today.
I will when I go down to the water.
He said he'll give you a sign.
Okay. All right. I appreciate
Keep
it.
Keep me posted, and thank you for calling in today.
Happy birthday
to your son.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm glad we picked Sal up today, aren't you? Glad we picked
Sal
up.
Yes, I am.
Okay, and remember, if you want to talk to us, you have to press 1. Okay, I see we have Alexa. Okay, you want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, but I'm not going to say her name again because when I tried to screen her, all of my units in the house started going berserk. So the girl with the A word, that sounds like Alex, but the female version of it, is a little bit confused about the guy that she's speaking to. So she kind of, she spoke to you about this before. She kind of like a little bit of an update, and she kind of wants to know, where the hell is he at? So here we go with that A word. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hello, dear. It's so funny because I was trying to post on Twitter from here on our, blog talk, and Nicole, you'll laugh about this, okay? So I posted, when I post on my page, because my daughter just says, what's this? It posts the word the. That's it. Okay? It's like, doesn't post the show. It doesn't post anything. It's everything.
Oh my God.
What's this mean? I don't know. Who can trust that Twitter? Let me tell you. So if you notice, Blog Talk has changed this menu a little bit here. And obviously the Twitter thing doesn't work. All right, so sorry about that. Those of you wondering what the means, you can make it, the, you can make it mean anything you want, okay? So, Alexa, tell us a little bit about this guy and your updates and all of this. It's very exciting because you had broken up with someone and met this guy, and this is a family friend. So What's the update for us?
Okay, so the update since I last had spoken to you was that I had ended up moving out to my summer house full-time for the summer out in the Hamptons. So I've been here. I got a part-time job for the summer because, I'm a speech pathologist, and the school year ended. I work in a school. So this was the first summer that I could be out here full-time. So I got a part-time job out here at one of the clothing boutiques, and I'm having the best time ever. It was the best decision I ever made. My parents are so happy because it's just a starting over. It's a refresh for me. And the guy that I have been speaking to, which you know about, which I feel, and we've spoken about that, it's from my grandmother and his grandfather who are in heaven. He always writes to me all the time. He says really cute things. And the last time I had seen him was he came out here for the 4th of July with a group of friends. And we ended up hanging out 2 days in a row. We had an amazing time together. We ended up, every night we hung out 5 in the morning just talking because we just didn't know where the time was going. And we had our first kiss, which I was so nervous about. Not the first day that each other, the second day. And from there, he's been writing to me all the time and stuff and says really nice things that I feel like he's interested. But then, I know he's very busy with his job. I know it. And he said it before, but he was just away on vacation. I asked him, are you going to come see me when you're back? And he said, I'm certainly going to try, but work and family events make for a tough schedule. And I just feel like I don't know where it's going. Like, I don't know where he is or what he's feeling or if it's going to go somewhere, because I just feel like I'm in a little bit of a rut with him. I don't mind it being slow, but I just almost can't read him. Like, he writes me every day, but yet I don't know where it's going. You know what I mean?
This is a typical American male when they, you know, they, yeah. You know, he's getting nervous. Remember, he was in that bad relationship, okay?
Yeah.
Just like
What's
you
were. What's going on with that?
Okay. It doesn't look like she's, you know, he's still with her, although I think she's still trying to contact him.
Still,
but I think he just ignores her. But, you know, he's getting some advice from, you know, remember we talk about how these guys have their bromance friends, you know, that kind of say, oh, it's summer. Why do you want to get in a relationship now? You can just have all this fun, you know, put her on the back burner for a while, because that's what he's doing. You know, remember I told you, I can't stand all these new dating terms that I have to learn, and I can't stand it, but what he's doing is putting you on a back burner until he's ready, maybe a few months from now or whatever. But that's not good, because, you know, when you meet a soulmate, you should want to connect with them and continue to connect. So, I mean, basically, I would, you know, keep responding back to him, but, you know, you're not under obligation not to date someone else if they ask you or go out.
Right.
Because he's not – and that's the thing. He has to fear losing you more than loving you, okay? Like, you're – now, this is not a television show, so people can't see you. But if anyone could see Alexa, she's physically gorgeous, and she's inside and outside gorgeous, and she's smart. So, like, where is he going to find somebody better than you? And don't you think some smart guy who's not afraid of love – would want to come along and scoop you up. So the stupidity of him, so I would maybe make it a little bit in jest in a moment when it feels like you could say it, but, you know, I'm a pretty good catch here, and, you know, you're kind of leaving me out in the open market awful lot. You know, let him know that, you know, come on. It's stupid.
I know. But I just don't, you know what the thing is, too? Oh, so when I went to meet him and his friends, all of them, loved me, and his best friend, who happened to be dating, was dating a girl who was best friends with Mike's ex-girlfriend. So they were dating two best friends. They both broke up with them. This friend in front of me, I'm not even kidding you, multiple times told Mike, you better marry this girl. She's not only is she gorgeous, but she's intelligent, she's mature. But he was saying it all in front of me, and like the whole entire weekend, he was saying this to Mike, like. Everybody's saying it, and then the friend still, now I'm like thinking, does the friend like me or something? Because every day the friend writes to me, like, Mike better marry you, and he better marry you quick. But now, like, the friend is like writing to me every day, and I'm like getting the sense that maybe the
thank you, ding, ding, ding. You know, like, at least this particular friend is telling him, go for her, okay? That's nice.
Right.
But he's got other friends telling him, let's go party. And this guy now looks to me like he is interested in you. And, you know, there is that rules of brotherhood, you know, you don't date someone your friends dated or whatever. But if he's not picking up on you and going out with you, this guy might very well ask you out in the future. I mean,
really?
He's not seeing it happening. So, you know,
can you tell, like, what Mike is thinking? Like, do you see, like, if he's going to, like, pursue it in the future or, like?
It looks like he will. There is a problem. You know, it's good and bad that your families know each other, okay? It's a good thing in many ways, but he's getting scared. What if it doesn't work out between us? How will it affect things? And he's a little jaded because that last relationship started out decent and really went bad. So he's a little bit afraid of that, you know, like, what if it doesn't go well? And he doesn't think it shouldn't go well because, you know, you're a good person and everything. But he is definitely nervous about starting up, you know. So I would just keep connecting with him. Where is he living now? I know you're in the Hamptons. Where is he?
He's in Long Island City, but he is traveling all the time. I understand that. I did invite him. I have a barbecue coming up in 2 weeks, like next weekend on the 28th. So when he was away on vacation and he had wrote to me, I invited him to the barbecue with all my friends. And he said he was going to let me know when he got back home. He was going to check his schedule and see. And if he could come, he would.
Okay. And let's hope he shows up, okay?
Yeah, let's hope.
And you know, because, you know, it's just don't let it go on forever. Like, you know, be a little patient for a while, but I would say within 2 or 3 weeks to a month tops, if he's not moving forward, I wouldn't text him every day anymore. Like, what is that?
I will not. It's always him to reach out. But I almost feel like, where's this going anyway?
That's
like,
called the crumbing. Okay, he put you on the back burner, and now he's crumbing you. A text is throwing a crumb to you.
Right.
Like, I know he's traveling, whatever, but why can't he talk to you on the phone? Why is it just texting?
Yeah.
Why can't we talk? He's deliberately trying to control how close you can get right now.
Yes, I feel like that.
He's deliberately trying. But there's a point where...
Did my grandmother say anything about it?
She says, you know, he's a good guy, but it's almost like women have to start saying things. There's a point in which I don't think my generation would have tolerated this. Okay, we didn't have texting, and we only had phones, one phone in the household, but people still called you. I mean, they couldn't call every minute because you could be tying up the family phone, but they make sure they call you for 5 minutes and talk to you and get to, and then we had to get together because we couldn't text back
and
forth.
He should be planning when he wants to see me.
That's exactly it. And not this.
And he's not.
Because this commitment phobic thing, yeah, we'll get together. I don't know when. I have to check my schedule. Everybody has their, like, electronic calendar. Everybody knows what their schedule is, okay?
I know. Check your calendar. I'm like, don't you know what you're doing?
Who has a calendar at home? Who has a calendar at home? Okay? It's in his phone, okay?
Unless he's afraid to come by himself and meet my friends.
And he doesn't seem to be afraid to meet your friends. He seems to be afraid to move it forward. And also, yes, but in some degrees, afraid to meet your friends because commitment phobics don't want to meet your friends because that's too intimate. You know what I mean? So.
But he wanted me to meet all his friends. Like, I don't understand him.
Yeah, well, because who wouldn't want to show you off? That way, he's not stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he's showing you
off.
But
is he interested?
But you're not a Barbie doll to be shown off.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so. You know, I wouldn't tolerate too much of this just texting. I'd be like, look, I don't need a text, buddy. Okay, so.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. Like, what I just don't understand the point of the messages. Like, unless it's going to be meaningful about you and I, then there's no reason for me to even respond.
That's, you know, I would pretty much say that sooner than later because the women I know who end up getting guys to commit, they're nice women, and they're not bitches, but they're just putting it out on the table. This is not what I'm signing on for. I don't need a text, buddy. Okay, if that's all I'm going to be to you, really, and I don't need friends. I have plenty of friends, okay? It's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a relationship.
Is he the type of person that needs to be told that? Like,
He's been hurt from that last relationship, so he's shell-shocked. And part of him thinks maybe I should just be single, just enjoy the single life, whatever, have fun. But, he has to fear losing you more than loving you. He has to realize, you know, I don't understand with your generation of women why you're keeping, you know, whether you're lesbians, you know, or you're heterosexuals, you're just letting these mates call all the shots. And, like,
I know.
You know, we didn't come this far in liberation to have other people call the shots. So there's a point where you'll be the one who knows it. It may not be for a week or two. It's when you reach the point where you're going to say, look, what are your intention in messaging me? What's this about? You know, and I don't buy this, and everybody's busy. They're busy with this, and they can't get together. That I don't buy for a minute because my generation of men wanted to see women all the time. Okay, they didn't have porn to masturbate with. Okay, they weren't masturbating all day. They wanted to see women because they wanted to make love. They wanted to be with us. They didn't. I never in my life heard men, I'm too busy to see you. This is something that's so like 21st century nonsense. Like people wanted to see each other. I mean, ask your parents. Like what it was like when they.
I know. It's very frustrating.
They used to come see us every day. Men wanted to see women every day. They wanted to be with them. And so this is a generational thing that's happening, but it's going now to the men in their 30s and their 40s, and now men in their 50s and 60s are catching this disease.
Yeah, he's going to be 32 next month. So
okay, and that's also scaring him a little bit because when you're 32. You're going to start dating somebody and it's serious. It's probably the person you're going to marry and maybe you have to grow up now.
Right.
So it's almost putting off growing up, but
he's,
you know,
interested, right? I'm not making like a, you know, I thought it was a soulmate connection. This, like, is that what he thinks or like?
And you know, he wants to be in a relationship with you. He's just calling the shots as to when, but there is a point where, you know, what is going to happen when he, you know, in the summer, somebody asks you out for a date, you know, your families are kind of connected. People could find out this stuff. Is he going to think that you don't care about him then? I mean, I put it out to him. Look, I really would like to be dating you, but if you're not going to come around, then I will, you know, date other people. I'm not going to wait forever.
Right.
I mean, you don't want to do it like if you just do it without telling him, he's going to think, oh, boy, she doesn't really care about me. She's, like, seeing other guys. But it's not normal the way men are doing this. You had a kiss.
No.
That, my generation, the men were normal, horny guys. They wanted to make love. They had a kiss. They wanted to wine and dine you, take it to that next level. They wanted sex. But this is a generation of men that is just not normal that way. They're just not normal. I'm sorry.
And it's confusing. Like, I know, like, what I want. I know I felt it, and I don't need it to rush, but at least let's be, like, on a path where we're both on the same page. Like, I just feel like with him, I'm like, is he interested in me? Is he not interested in me? He must be. He writes to me every day, but yet we're not going forward. Like, it's very confusing.
Yeah, and that's what – it's the mixed messages that commitment phobics do. And I'm saying he was probably a committed commitment phobic. When he was with that other girl, he didn't love her all that much. He was committed to somebody he didn't like all that much or care about. That doesn't fool me that he's not afraid of commitment. Now he's got a girl who's really good. How come he doesn't want to spend time with her? That makes no sense, except if you're afraid of commitment and love.
Right.
And so, you know – I don't buy this that he's so busy he can't come for a day. He's not, you know, it's not that long away. When I met my husband, TJ, he lived in Montauk. I lived in Patchogue. You know, he met at a party on a Saturday night. He called me right after the party. He called me the next day. I said, I have some opening a few hours in Tuesday afternoon if you want to come. He drove all the way from Montauk for a few hours. Like, that's what men do.
Right, because when somebody, they will chase you. And that's why I refuse to be the first one to text. I refuse to be like all those other girls or that flock to him. Because that's not who I am. And if you want me, I know I'm good. And then come get me. Otherwise, I'll go find somebody else.
Right. And it's kind of like, you know, there'll be a moment when he texts you or does something and you just go, what's your intention in texting? What's this crumbing to me about? What is this? And, you know, just put it, like, this is not really, you know, we had a kiss and then it's texting. It's mixed messages. It's not making sense to me. I mean, men are pretty, they like when you don't play games. So put your cards on the table. I mean, that's what I learned from growing up with three older brothers and in a mainly all-boy neighborhood.
Yeah.
They got, you know, maybe he'll say, well, I'm not ready. Well, let him tell that to you then. Look, I'm not ready for a relationship. Well, then tell me now. I'd rather know now than you string me along for 7 months. Okay, so
exactly.
If you're not interested now and you're not looking, because you have to tell him I'm looking for a relationship now, not 5 years from now, not 5 months from now. So if you're not looking for one now, I'm probably not the right girl for you. Doesn't mean it's over. Let him not text you and miss you. And maybe he'll come back and say, okay, I'm ready. But if you're going to give them a long rope to keep running, they're going to keep running, guys.
Yeah. Do the cards say anything of that?
It just looks more like he's just afraid. That's all I'm seeing from him is he's afraid. Okay. And, you know, from the other side, they're going to try to get him to, like, realize he may lose you.
Okay.
His friend texting you all the time is ridiculous, too, don't you think? I mean, come on.
I know. At first, because the whole weekend, he's like, Alexa, what's your ring size? I need to know because I'm going to be the best man. Like, he kept doing things like that. And I was like, is this a joke? Like, I didn't know if the guy was, like, being sincere. I mean, he sounded sincere. But then, like, now he's constantly texting me, like, oh, Mike better marry you, and he better marry you quick. But then, like, every single post that I put on Instagram, like, he comments it. And I'm like, I think that this guy is actually into me.
Right, and also he knows that Mike's scared of commitment, and what he's doing is really making Mike's fear come to the surface by saying you got to marry her. Like, excuse me, he wants to go out on a date and be with you and date a little while and see what's there. Like, this guy is knows that this is making him scared by saying it.
Right. And I don't even think that Mike's really dating around. Like, that's not the vibe I get. I mean, I could be totally wrong. I don't think he's dating many girls. I think that he's just scared of commitment. Like, I think he likes me. That's the feeling I get. But I think that it's not moving forward because of his own issues with dating.
Right, exactly. So I don't see that he doesn't care about you or doesn't like you. I just see it's the game that men are playing. And the game is let's put women on the back burner, let's crumb them, let's ghost them, let's say we're too busy, we're working with this, with that. It all means you're afraid of love or you're not ready. And there's a point where you had your kiss. That first kiss should have led to him wanting to see you within a few days. Like, let's get together. Okay, that's not the normal progression. So, I mean, don't ignore this as it is a red flag that maybe he's totally afraid of commitment and he's not ready. But you might want to say to him, I don't understand. I don't think if a man's really into a woman, he's never too busy to see her. That's what I would say.
I would say the same thing. I agree.
Okay, and again, you're not playing games and you're not being a bitch. It's just, look, this is not, I mean, I want a man who wants to pursue me, wants to wine and dine me, wants to see me. And if that's not you, then this is not going to work. I don't want a man who's, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I'm ready for you. You know, which is ridiculous.
I know.
And so I do see he cares about you. But do me a favor, and within a week or so, if you feel like it, and, you know, don't be a bitch about it. Don't say it out of anger, but just, you know, where is this going? I mean, kind of like, how does a kiss lead to, like, weeks of texting? What?
Right. Like, when I asked him to come out, he's like, I'm certainly going to try. And I'm like, try? I mean,
that's not a good enough answer for me. I mean,
like, that's all I'm worth is to try?
No, I mean, really, a man should want to walk from, Montauk to Manhattan to see a woman if that's what he has to do. Okay, so.
Exactly.
I just think this is a 21st century thing why relationships are not moving forward, why they're just doing this sideways. Mm-hmm. And you're also starting it where he's calling all the shots. We didn't come this far in liberation to have a man call all the shots. You can be my text buddy or my booty caller or my friend, but you can't be my girlfriend. This is nonsense. So,
well,
you know,
he thinks he is, but I don't answer everything, honestly.
Good.
I ignore a lot of the things, and that's why he keeps. Then he'll write another thing, and then like he'll text me another thing. So, I'm not at his beck and call. I never will be. I've never was until my last relationship. That was not a good one. But now I've gained all my power back, and I'm the type that I know my worth. If that's the case, I know how much I'm worth that I could walk away. I will not flock like all these other girls that supposedly flock to him because it's just not who I am.
Exactly. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put Anna on the next caller. And Anna is a woman who went through a lot of this stuff with guys too. So I'm going to hear from Anna a little bit because her life's changed a lot for the better. But what I would advise, you know, and believe me, women do this to men too. Okay. It's not just men doing it to women. We have a lot of nice men that come here that the women don't know if they want to see them, and they, you know, they just text, and they do it too. But it shows a lot of fear, and it also shows a certain level of narcissism, which means he's thinking about him and not about you. Okay, there's not an us here. It's me and I'm afraid. It's not, oh, she's such a great girl, and I don't want to hurt her, and I want to let her know that she's a great girl. Like, mm-hmm. That's the kind of guy I want you to be with. And he's not going to be that guy, then, you know, he's going to lose out because you won't be responsible if this doesn't move forward. You know, we have more than one soulmate. The universe will bring you another one. They won't bring one to him. So,
right.
You know, I'm hoping he steps up to the plate.
Me too.
And does what
he is such a nice guy, yeah.
Again, he's a nice guy, but his fears are so large. This can end up hurting you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want you to be the one that feels like you're getting hurt.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, you know, do me a favor and let us know what happens. And, you know, keep me posted. but I'm not a fan of what he's doing right now. Okay, I'm not a fan of
it. I know.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I remember you contacted me last week in the kitchen. You weren't listening, and we didn't have our show last week, and it was good because I wanted to see what he did now. Okay, yeah, you had the kids, but what happens from here?
Right.
You know, you get a kiss, and I would have expected by now you would have had a date. You would have gone on a date, a real date.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's what I would have suspected and expected. So,
I know.
Keep us posted and let us know, okay?
I will, Cindy. Thank you.
Okay, good luck to you.
We'll talk soon. Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye. I'm going to try to get Anna now. Okay. Let's see, Anna. Nicole, do you know about Anna? Can you say anything to you?
Oh, of course I do. Yes, actually, this is kind of funny too, Cindy, because last time we spoke to Anna, I had given her a lot of advice. But now, you know how we always say that, you know what, even if you don't have a question, listen to the show, because chances are there's information that you need, and there's information that, even if we're talking to other people, pertains to you. Well,
right.
Last time I was on the show, I gave her a whole lot of advice, but it was the wrong Anna. It was the other Anna, the one that was trying to have a baby Anna, and it was the wrong Anna. And I was giving her advice, but guess what? It applied to her anyway, and apparently I was dead on. So goes to show you. Yep.
Isn't it funny how
so
on this
just
show?
Goes to show you that, yep, that we were so correct when we say that sometimes the things that we say do apply, even if you're not the active caller. So anyway, getting back to now the proper Anna, you know, last time she did call was about 6 months ago, and she gave, and, you know, she was talking, you know, about a lot of different things, and she was trying different things, and basically in a nutshell, she went through a little bit of a difficult time, and she's all over the place right now. She's got exciting work stuff to talk to you about. She's got, you know, a couple of questions for her personal life, and yeah, she needs a really good all around reading today, Cindy.
Okay, so let's put Anna on.
Well, let's talk to Anna. Hello, Anna.
Hi.
You are on the air.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Hi, Anna.
Hello.
So where are you? Where in the world are you now?
I am in southern Chile right now.
Wow,
it is beautiful.
That's what I want people to know. She's calling from far away.
I am on Skype, yes.
Okay. So what's going on in your love life? Didn't you get married?
We did. We got married a little over a month ago. We did. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you were listening to Alexa and how we were saying how the guys, you know, they don't commit, they don't step forward.
Yep.
Didn't that sound familiar, like men in America? But
very,
then you went to southern Chile and you got a man who married you, huh?
Yep. Yeah.
You only had to leave the country to have that happen.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So now you're married. Are you and you're trying to get pregnant?
We are, yeah, and I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit because I'm a little bit older because I went through a whole lot of nonsense. It took me, I was 37 when we met. I'm 38 now. We just got married. And we were pregnant. Unfortunately, as you know, we lost the baby. We're trying again, and it's been a real struggle. So I'm a little bit stressed out about that, hoping that, you know.
Okay, we're
going to
have
happen.
You relax because you're going to get pregnant. You're not old. There's a second round of fertility at 38. So you just, it really kicks in around 38, 39. Okay, so you would sort of at the lower end of the fertility, which goes between like 32 and maybe like 36, 37. But now you're getting on that wave of that second round of fertility. And just keep making love and enjoying that. And I did get the pregnancy card here.
Oh,
so
good.
Good. So I want you to relax. But I want, like Alexa and the women listening, to understand that you're going to waste time with deadbeat men who won't commit. They're depriving women of motherhood. And this year on this show has been my mission to say this on every show if I can. That men are depriving women of motherhood because they won't commit.
Absolutely.
And
because your time is valuable.
who are 38, 48, wasted too much time with guys, and now are freaking out because they're not married
yep.
like you are. They didn't find somebody, and now they think they're never going to be a mother. This is terrible. Okay, this is terrible.
Yeah.
So you, God brought you your soulmate in the 11th hour. You had to find one.
Yeah,
now.
Thank God.
And if you had to go
yep.
to the other side of the world to find one, well, we'll
but
do
I got
it.
A good one.
But you didn't sit around
yeah,
saying,
beautiful.
I'm just going to stay here. You know, you tried
yeah.
several different states, different places, everything. And when it wasn't working,
yep.
you became proactive.
No.
So soulmates, make love. You make a baby. You have to relax. Stop thinking you're old. Like my generation.
Okay.
You know, I always tell the funny story that when I was 53 and I was going through menopause, and my doctor said, you know, your hormones are normal, but I don't think you have any more eggs left. I said, if I get pregnant, I'm naming you as the father. So he said, use contraception another year. Okay. And
wow.
one of my clients who I just told that story to, who's my age, said her mother had her when she was 55. Okay.
Are you
serious?
Wow.
Serious. Okay.
Wow.
So out my generation thought, you have sex, you got pregnant. Okay, there was no
right.
doubt in my mind. When I had sex, I was going to get pregnant. So you
right,
girls need to stop
scared,
thinking
yeah.
that you are old because you're not.
Okay.
You have plenty of time. Relax and enjoy making love and
yeah.
make a lot of love, because when the semen goes into your body, it has hormones that regulate your hormones. And it tells you
okay.
that as a species, you want to procreate. And since you're a little bit older,
yeah.
Are this as a species in your body thinks, oh, maybe the men were at war or there was famine or something. So we need to get the older women pregnant. So just remember, we're an animal, and, you know,
yeah.
just make love and it will happen. He looks like a wonderful husband, by the way.
He's a wonderful husband. He really is. And we get our bumps getting to the altar too. We definitely had our bumps. But you know what I learned from it? I used to think that if the first year was no fighting, everything was, you know, rainbows, that was a good sign. And actually what I learned is that it's not. If everything is perfect the first year, a lot of times it means that one person isn't speaking up for themselves, isn't
right.
saying, are we looking for the same thing? What are we doing here? So I'm actually glad that we had those tough conversations and we had those big fights. I wouldn't say big fights, but, you know, put it all
right.
on the table of what are we doing here?
Now, again, putting it on the table is what I was telling Alexa.
Yep.
You've got to put the cards on the table with people. Stop dancing around the question. Stop
yep.
asking psychics, what does he think? If you've got to ask a psychic what somebody
exactly.
thinks, it's not good, okay? You should not
exactly.
have to ask me what you should ask him. And so I noticed during this, it's the only relationship that I've known you that you haven't asked me my opinion throughout, which means you've been
exactly.
asking him and telling him what you want. Every other relationship,
yep.
what's he thinking? Does he like me?
Yep.
Is he, you know, remember
yep.
that? But this is the only
oh, yeah,
one you said, I'm not asking Cindy, I'm going to ask him. And
yeah.
notice how it progressed to the down the aisle. You got married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So women, if you're listening to this show and you have to keep calling me to find out what he's thinking, not good. Okay. Not
yeah.
good. Okay. And you have to talk and communicate. And remember, you have a cultural difference. That's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a different culture, different references. So
yeah.
sometimes what you as an American might think is one thing, he doesn't probably know what the hell you're doing.
But you know what really helped? His mom and his aunt were completely on my side. I wouldn't say on my side because it wasn't like me, him, us versus them, but they had my back. And the three of us sat down with him and said, it's been a year. Are you going to get married or not? And they were completely behind us, you know,
now,
behind
see, this is a
supporting
different country.
Us.
Where you're dating
Huge
and you're
difference.
Older in a year and you get married. I mean, in America,
yep.
it seems like I have clients that have been with someone since they're 16 and they're 34. He doesn't know if he wants to marry her yet. Really?
Right.
You've been with him since
yep.
you're 16 years old and you're
yeah.
34 and you don't have a baby
yep.
yet because he doesn't want to marry you? And you know, this is crazy, because what if he doesn't want to step up? What are you going to be, 35
right.
and have to start looking for another guy now that you've been with since you're 16?
And
16?
You know what?
Crazy.
That's what I would tell Alexa, is that it's your life and your time, and you want to make sure that you have the life you want and you have someone that fits into that. And if someone is bringing you down or isn't sure he wants to build a life with you, next, because you've got a good life to live and you want someone who adds to that, not bring you more drama.
Exactly. And, you know, women have to start realizing your good catches. Women have terrible self-esteem after middle school.
Oh, my God.
Their self-esteem is
horrible.
Everybody
horrible.
Thinks they're ugly or stupid or something. And it takes people till they get older again, 40, 45,
yep.
for their self-esteem to come back. But
exactly.
realize your self-esteem issues you have to work on, women, because this is not good.
Yeah.
Because why don't you recognize you're a good catch? I mean, women are so afraid to lose the guy that they say nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't be afraid to speak up. And so you're
yeah.
the perfect one to have followed after Alexa, because you got him to realize you're not going to wait forever. I mean, you know.
No.
When are we going to get married? And especially even you got pregnant when you first knew him and you weren't married. And that may have been why you were more nervous about the whole thing. Now you'll be married.
Yeah.
You're an old-fashioned
yeah,
girl.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay? You're an old-fashioned
definitely.
Girl.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
I know.
So maybe you needed that ring on you for your body
yeah.
to settle down to hold a baby. I mean, you're old-fashioned and it's doing it right. You got married and now you're going to have your baby. For you, that's the right
yeah.
person. And so
right.
you know, everything looks great in your cards. Money looks
oh,
pretty
thank
good,
you.
Too.
Really,
I know
I'm a little stressed about it right now.
Beautiful crafts. Are you still doing that?
I am. Yep. Yeah, I'm definitely am. And it's
okay,
funny, they've been coming to me like visions. When I meditate, I see the designs in my mind, and then I just kind of make them. And yeah, really
okay,
liking that.
Okay, so you're channeling.
Yeah.
You've been opening that vortex for a very long time. And
I was really scared of it.
You're scared of the vision?
I'm going to begin to... Scared of opening that channel, you know, religious, conservative background. And I've always been aware of the spirit world, but really afraid of it, too. But now I feel like I'm a little more willing to open it up and try and trust that a little bit.
Well, it's more like you were raised in the Jewish tradition, correct?
Half and half. My mom was fundamentalist Christian. My father was Russian Jewish. So I got a big, heavy dose of both. Yeah.
Okay. And, but both religions are steeped in mystics, you know, the Kabbalah
exactly.
and mysticism of
yep.
Christianity. So you might want to just open up the mystic side of the religion, because that is where great art comes from. And,
yeah.
And again, you can also, just anybody listening, if you know, we all have to open up our psychic ability and our connection to higher consciousness to the other side.
Yeah.
But when this first started happening to me, and I said to
yeah.
God, well, I don't want to see evil, and I don't want to see anything bad. So for 10 years, God honored that with me until I said I wanted greater enlightenment. Then God said, then you have to see evil. And then I was ready
yeah.
to see it. Okay. But for 10
yeah.
years, it was pretty cushy, this stuff, okay? And even seeing evil
yeah.
was something scary. It was just recognizing things I needed to recognize. So you can tell the universe, I love this opening through my art. And right now I'm
yeah.
happy to have it come through my art and my art only.
Yeah.
And
well, that's exactly what happened.
That.
Actually, that's how we met, you know, many years ago, is I was having those experiences and they weren't pleasant. They were pretty scary. And I asked for, you know, God or the universe to shut it down. I said, I don't want to deal with things moving around my house. I don't want to deal with crazy violent ghost, because I was having experiences, and from the
yeah.
time I was young, you know, really the darker side
oh,
of spirit
yeah.
and it yeah and I didn't want it.
All right. And did it stop?
Yeah, it did.
Okay. And again,
I prayed it away.
Nobody had told
yeah.
you that how to stop it, okay? Which means you just say, I don't want this, and then your spirit
yeah.
guides would just block all of that from coming to you. If you don't say
it,
it's free will and they can't really stop it. Unless you're
but I feel
really
like I blocked the good things with the bad.
Right. And now I want you to open up the good side of
yeah.
the mysticism, the spirituality, the higher consciousness. Let that in. We also, you know, every time people screw us over, and this is important to know,
yeah.
their spirit guides come over to us. And you've been screwed over a lot
really?
By a lot of people.
Yeah.
So you got a
yeah.
lot of spirit guides. And those guides will keep anything at bay from you anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
No, I definitely
I mean,
got a lot of people on the other side, too, for sure.
I do this 8, 9, 10 hours a day. Nothing
yeah.
bad, no evil, nothing permeates, okay? I'm actually
okay.
not afraid. If there's anything that I'm opening a vortex that I know is a trap, great. I'm warned about it, and I'm told it can't hurt
yeah.
you. We're here.
Okay.
So pretty much open up, like, let all that shine through. And really, if you want to know
Okay.
How this vortex opened more for me was through writing, and a play that I'm
writing
now that I had more than 24 years ago, right before this happened, is called Angels, Knights, and Men. And the person who typed it in from, because it was on a word processor and I only had it, and they had to type it in the computer to me, said, "Oh my God, you were so spiritual." But then I go, "I wrote that before this." Okay, and it's all about how communing to the other side, and there's worlds that exist, and it's about angels and all this stuff. But I wasn't into that at all. That was entirely channeled to me.
Yeah.
It was then after that that it started happening. So sometimes to people who are very scientific, a little skeptical, you got to get them through their art. And when you get it through the art, you the vortex. So I'm always encouraging people to go to the art, create something like, you know, paint a little bit, like Nicole's been talking about gnomes, paint
Or
white. Or do something that opens a creative vortex, because then you'll open the channeling to some amazing things. The art you'll create will be channeled. I mean, you don't have a huge ego, so you told me, right, you get the vision and you do it. That vision could have come from a great artist in the past, or a shaman, or somebody who created these pieces in the past.
You know, it actually started from our baby that passed over, because right after that happened, I saw the vision and I told Luis what it was, and then he made the stained glass of it, and it just kind of grew from there and there, where I kept getting these visions.
Right. And so obviously your child has been giving you these visions, and so creating the art from it. Now your ego's not large, and you say it. I always tell people I could not have written Grant Me a Higher Love by myself. I'm not saying I didn't spend 4 years and thousands of hours doing it and researching it.
Yeah.
That is beyond what I could have done. I could not have written that on my own.
Yeah.
I know I got guidance.
Yep.
And it doesn't subtract from me. They used my mind.
No.
They used my intellect. They used my work to help me create it. But I didn't do that on my own. So, but a lot of artists and a lot of egotistical people want to think they always do everything on their own. Really? And if you're going to create just by yourself, it's going to be that great, okay?
Yeah.
It really isn't. So keep that vortex open. I'm so proud of you that you've been doing
thank
that.
You.
And also, what is my recipe for baby? Make a lot of love. And don't think about it as the middle of the month. Don't think about putting a thermometer up your butt
it's
making
awful.
It science.
It's
okay?
awful, that whole,
because then he gets
the
nervous.
Pressure.
He gets nervous, and his stress will not make you know, for great flows of semen. So, well, you put it this way: the more relaxed he is, your object is to make love, and out of that natural making love, that your baby will emerge. Okay. And you know you got pregnant once, so that's good. I mean, it's sad that you lost, but you know you can get pregnant.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, try again. I'm going to a baby shower on Sunday to a woman who's in her like maybe 45 or 46 now.
Wow.
She had lost a baby right before this, and now she's almost ready to give birth now. So again, it happened, and she was going through a sort of a hard time. And when my Beethoven play was on, and we had two like little raffles, and she won both of them, which was like, you're on a big flow now. It's different. Everything's flowing your way, but she got pregnant again, and now this one's going to full term. And another client, she was 48, and she, again, with guys, didn't commit. All these relationships didn't work out. She thought she'd never get, you know, a baby. She met a soulmate, and, you know, 3 months later, she got pregnant. And, you know, they have a baby, and they're married now. She has a beautiful little baby boy.
Good.
And I'm saying it's not, she was almost thought, it's impossible. I'm never going to get pregnant. And naturally, just got pregnant. So soulmates make babies. So you're going to relax.
Okay.
And enjoy.
Okay, Auntie Cindy.
And stop thinking every month that, like, don't cry when you get your period. Like, you're going to think, oh, God, it just shows I'm still fertile. Still shows I still got it. Instead of, like, getting upset, just think, well, God's giving you another month to practice and have fun. Okay, and remember, once you get pregnant and you have this baby, you've opened the vortex to fertility. I'm going to tell you one last story about pregnancy. One of my clients was 39, and she met this guy really quickly, and they got married like 6 months later. To make a long story short, she's had in 3 years, not even 3 years, she has three babies under the age of two.
Oh, my goodness.
She got pregnant right away, and none of them went full term. It was like 8 months. So she has a newborn, like a 9-month-old or 10-month-old, something like that, mm-hmm. and then a, almost two. So
wow.
this woman was 39, and her doctor kept saying, "Get it?
Wow.
Oh no!" She said, "I want you. I want to get pregnant. It's not going to happen. Whatever."
Right.
And
the doctor's
you're
horrible,
fertile.
Horrible.
You better
horrible.
Use contraception. Get
yeah.
pregnant again. Didn't believe me. Got pregnant 3 times in a row. So once that's
wow.
opened, so why don't you just enjoy maybe making love?
Okay.
And you know, keep us posted. You know, you're
yeah.
one of my favorites.
Oh, same with you guys.
And how we've watched you go from no more guys that can't commit to having a husband. So,
yep.
Women, it happens, but not if you're going to sit around and wait. When a kiss becomes weeks of texting, not good.
You know what? Can I just say one last thing to Lexa really quick? Because this guy is coming back. He will come back, no doubt,
oh, yeah.
because they always do. But it's really funny. I had a guy text me the other day who I went out with for a couple years ago, turned out to be a jerk, whatever. But he periodically messages me, and I just ignored him before. And this time I wrote him back, and I said, and he wrote all these really flowery words, very sweet things. And I wrote him back, and I told him, "What you did wasn't right. I'm married now. I wish you well. Goodbye." Block. And it felt really good.
Good. And you finally
no.
stopped. Because this
right.
man sending us crumbs, texting,
yep.
gotta
yep.
stop. It's gotta stop.
Yeah, none.
Okay.
Because they won't
none
commit
this...
to a girl who puts up with that crap either.
No, and that's because, you know, the men are learning it from other men. Oh, she's a hot girl, but you don't have to commit to her because she'll wait for you for 5 years. So just screw around all you want now for 5 years. Just throw her text now and again, and she'll be waiting for you. And you know what?
Yeah, no.
For the most part, they are waiting, the girls.
Exactly.
Which is
I did
crazy.
It. I did it. Yeah.
Yep. And that's why, you know, this year we're trying to get women to stop with that. Don't be afraid to assert yourself. That this isn't right doesn't mean you're a bitch, okay?
No.
Doesn't mean you're being a bitch. It just
and I could never do the whole "when men loves bitches" thing about play games, and I just don't have it in me to do that. But you know,
No. And again, I think men love bitches because then they can justify why they're cheating because she was a bitch, okay? So being a bitch is not the answer either. But it's just the difference between being a bitch and just saying, "Hey, look, we had a kiss." I would
put
it. We had a kiss. You know, I feel this chemistry. Maybe I'm crazy, but the next step should have been a date.
Yeah.
You know, like right away, and let's connect. Like that's normal.
Yeah.
I mean, say it, or maybe you're just not into me. But you know.
Yeah.
He is.
He'll come around. If she puts her foot down, he will come around.
Oh yeah. if he wasn't so into her, by the way,
exactly.
that kiss would have led to him dating her, so he could screw the hell out of her. Okay.
Yeah, but no, this is a family thing.
He's afraid that once
he
makes love, he's in there hook, line, and sinker.
Exactly.
And that's terrifying. So if he wasn't so into her, he would have been there, you know, having sex with her already, you know, trying to do that.
Exactly.
Just scared. Yep. But again, it all is, let's get our 2 feet into the relationship, 2 feet in or 2 feet out, please.
Exactly.
Well, we're almost at the end of our show. I think my husband's
trying to
call in and let us know when you get pregnant.
All right, I will. Big hug. Lots of love to both you and Nicole.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, TJ. How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you on the boat?
Yeah, we're heading into the sun to go home. Listen, I know you don't have much time. You have to say goodbye to Nicole. I don't know if you know, what time is a good time to come home?
Any time. I have a phone reading 9 to 10, and then I'm done.
All right. Well, I love you. Great show. And I'm not going to comment about all these things, but we'll talk about them tonight. Hello, Nicole. We have to get together sooner than later. It looks beautiful in the sunboat.
Absolutely. My wife is
And TJ, just to close up our show, at the first, when you came to see me in the second, you know, the first date, what did I tell you? 2 feet in? You
she
know,
said,
I don't want drama. I don't want disease.
2 feet
in or 2 feet out? And what did you do, darling?
I said, why not?
Right. And he put his 2 feet in.
Okay. And then I had a call. People said, "Are we going to see you again?" All right. Anyway, I love you, dear. Bye.
Okay.
Ciao.
I made you a salad for later. Okay.
All right. Great. I love you. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Okay. So I mean, I didn't give TJ a lot of wiggle room back then. You know.
I remember when you met TJ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I completely remember when you met TJ, and I remember what you had said because at the time, don't forget, I was a little bit of a of the skeptic at that point still, and I was a little bit jaded at that point still.
It's almost 10 years.
I remember what you told,
what
you said to him. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, so I was like, so I was like, Cindy, I'm like you just met the guy. I'm like, did we really need to say that? You know, so soon. And your answer to me was, well, yeah. You know, and I remember all of that. And then I remember, like, what, a week or two later, you were like, you know, you were like all in, and it was great, and you were happy, and you know what, it just goes to show you that, you know, when you put your cards on the table and you're completely honest, if the connection is there and it's the right connection, you just have to go with it, and you just got to kind of let go and let God and just do what you're supposed to do, because it was one of the best decisions that you ever made to do that. It was one of the best decisions that I ever made to do that. I mean, and it's just, it's really, really a good thing when you can just be open and honest and just say what you want and actually get it.
Right, exactly. And that's why I said it does work. When there's a connection, it works. Start out, because how can love grow if you don't trust someone, if you don't know if they're seeing other people, or if they're, you got 2 feet in? I mean, you got to know. This way you can let love grow and not be afraid. So that's the difference. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, and, of course, call in next week if we didn't get to you. And thank you to all our listeners, and I want to thank Karen and for coming to the event, and Pat for coming to the event. Thank you so much. Hey, good night, everybody.
Bye, Cindy.